beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
We appreciate you. We give you thanks and praise. We give you glory and honor. We celebrate your majesty. We say, hallowed be your name forever in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear Abba Father, this is another time we have come at your feet to learn of you. Sweet Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the world. We ask that you grant us understanding, grant us inspiration. Teach us your word tonight, and our lives shall never remain the same again. Thank you, Lord and King. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We bless God for another opportunity to share fellowship again. This is Miracles of Jesus. Gradually and surely, we are getting to the 1 year anniversary of Miracles of Jesus. To Jesus alone be all the praise and glory forevermore. Amen and amen. Yeah, 23rd of March 2023, we began Miracles of Jesus. And by the grace of God, we are on the fourth miracle now. And it's been a glory to glory ride. It's been a ride of more and more insight. And we thank the Lord for how he has been teaching us and how he has been blessing us. Once again, I want to say big God bless you to every of our listeners all over the nations of the world. Thank you very much for investing into your spiritual life. Thank you for investing into your growth in the word of God. The good Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. To everyone who likes, to everyone who shares, the Lord bless you richly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you very much. God bless you. And once again, want to let you know that our feedback channel is Chimdi Ohuna Ministry at gmail.com. Please do well to feed us back. Do you have questions? Send your questions there. Amen to Jesus. Also, you can use a direct WhatsApp line and send your feedback, +233 545947132. You can send your feedback. Do you have questions? Send your questions. Our Facebook channel is also there. You can send. Our Facebook page is also there. Grace Life Komi. You can send your questions there. I will be glad to give you replies to your questions. Amen to Jesus. Also, the giving channels are also made available for you. You can send your love offering to all the available channels that have been placed on the podcast homepage. You can send your love offering there, and you can visit our website, Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International.org, and you can also get to know more about us and also see the giving channels there. The good Lord bless us all in the name of Jesus. All right, we are still on the fourth miracle of Jesus, and we'll be learning quite a lot. In the last time, we began to understand that Jesus began to teach them about the kingdom of God. One of the gospels said, and he taught them many things. So that makes us understand that the many things he taught them were about the kingdom of God. And we discovered that a large percentage of the messages that Jesus preached was about the kingdom of God. It makes us understand how important the kingdom of God is to him and how it is to us also. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. All right. Now we're going to be looking at something very important today. In the second miracle, the miracle at Cana in Galilee, we understood that Cana was a place that was full of reeds. And reeds are plants that grow in what riverine areas, praise God forevermore. Actually, the Red Sea is not actually Red Sea, it's actually called Sea of Reeds. That's a real name, but translation errors made us take it to be the Red Sea, praise God forevermore. So when a place is, when reeds grow in a location, it means it's a riverine, is a waterside. And we understood that the first miracle and the second miracle of Jesus were done in Canaan of Galilee, making us understand that it was a wet location. What was it wet? It was wet with honor for Jesus. Amen to Jesus. And so we are looking at something important today in this miracle, and I believe it plays a very pivotal role in this miracle. And we're looking at the significance of Bethsaida in the miracle. The significance of Bethsaida in this miracle. We're made to understand that Jesus and his disciples went to what? To Bethsaida. And it was at Bethsaida that these people came to meet him. The 5,000 men came to meet him. Praise God forevermore. And so what does Bethsaida have to do here? Why this location? It would have been somewhere else. Are we together? But why Bethsaida? There are no coincidences in scriptures. Everything that happens in scripture happens for a particular reason. And we must be able to see the reason why it happened. Amen to Jesus. All right. So we need to understand that it's important we know that the location Bethsaida, where this miracle was done by Jesus, played a what? A pivotal role in this miracle. In order to know the role Bethsaida played, we must know the meaning of Bethsaida. Praise God forevermore. So we first of all start off by knowing the meaning of Bethsaida, in order to know the role that Bethsaida played. What does Bethsaida means? What does Bethsaida means? It's actually and of Aramaic origin. Praise God forevermore. This word is of Aramaic origin. Amen. You know, and Aramaic is vernacular Hebrew. So it's of Aramaic origin. Amen to Jesus. And Bethsaida actually means house of fish. Hallelujah to Jesus. Bethsaida means house of fish. Beth, where you see Beth is house. Are we together? Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Praise God forevermore. And Bethsaida here, Bethsaida. Beth is house, Saida is fish. So it's house of what? House of fish. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. In other words, you can say a fishing house. So basically, it makes us understand that this was a fishing zone. Are we together? It was a fishing zone, a fishing harbor. Bethsaida was a small fishing village on the west shore of Lake Gennesaret. It was the home of Andrew, Peter, Philip, and John. That is why you see they were fishermen. Praise God forevermore. Because they were from the fisher, from the water side, from the fishing side. You discover in places like, for example, in Nigeria, you have the Ijaws. The Ijaws are the waterside area. And so majority of them are fishermen. Praise God forevermore. In a place like Elmina in Ghana, is at the coastal region, just, you know, at the waterside, and they have the major fishing harbor there. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so it was actually a fishing location, and that was where, that was the village of these four men, and it's no news why they were what? They were fishermen. Praise God forevermore. And so when Jesus called them to be fishers of men, it means it was around their village side he called them. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So it must have had some, a lot of things to do with the fishing location. And why the fishing location? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Bethsaida was a village in Lower Gaulanities on the eastern shore of the Lake Gennesaret, not far from where the Jordan empties into it. This was a village which the inhabitants were predominantly fishermen. It was a village where the inhabitants were what? Predominantly what? Fishermen. All right. Thus, the occupation here was what? Fishing. It was a fishing zone. Praise God forevermore. It was a fishing zone. It sure had fishing harbors and a number of fishermen and boats. So when you come into fishing locations, what will welcome you is boats. Praise God forevermore. It's boats. That's the side that welcomes you. You know, I remember the first time I was coming down to the coastal region in Ghana, I began to see boats. I was like, wow, are these boats? I don't think I'd actually seen live boats all my life. I'd not seen fishing canoes. Fishing canoes. I'd not seen fishing canoes all my life. I started seeing fishing canoes live last year. So when I was coming and I was seeing the canoes, I'm like, wow, are these canoes? And I saw where they made the canoes, and we're looking, I'm like, wow. In fact, I was so excited seeing them. And what you see around there is just canoes. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, we learned in our previous study that the two fishes symbolize man in his work of what? Reconciliation, in God's work of what? Great salvation. So we understood that everything that is done in Scripture has a symbolic undertone. Praise God forevermore. We need to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, amen to Jesus, and John, which were actually accounts of Jesus while he walked the face of the earth for 33 and a half years, were still Old Testament operations. Are we together? The New Testament began in Acts. After Jesus died and resurrected, that's when the New Testament was enacted. That's when it began. Praise God forevermore. So, up until when Jesus died, everything that was operational was symbolic. They were all typologies of a New Testament reality. Praise God forevermore. So, up until when Jesus died, it was all typological. It was all symbolic for what? A New Testament operation. Amen to Jesus. And so, even when Jesus said, I'll make you fisher of men, it was symbolic. Praise the Lord forevermore. Everything Jesus, we understood that Jesus, all through the Old Testament, a blind eye was never opened. Jesus was the first person to open blind eyes. Why? It was symbolic of what? Of Scripture that says, a people that dwelt in darkness have seen a great light, and they in the valley of shadow of death, light is what? Is brought forth. So that was symbolic for what? For what? The bringing forth of light. John chapter 1, it says that the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Praise God. And saying, I was not that light, but I was sent to bear witness of what? Of that light. And Jesus actually is the light. So the opening of blind eyes was symbolic. I remember between Malachi and when Jesus came, it was 400 years or over of what? Dark, it called that was called the Dark Ages, where they never heard any word from God again. And so that was the period of what? The people dwelling in darkness. And when Jesus came, light came forth. And to show that light has come forth, what did he do? He opened blind eyes. Because the people that dwelt in darkness, for them to see a great light, their eyes have to be opened. So he opened blind eyes. So this, as a symbolic representation of the fact that the great light has come, they have to see the great light. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to you. So everything that he did was symbolic until resurrection. Even the bread he broke and the wine he poured, they were symbolic. He said, this is my body broken for you. It was symbolic. And this is my blood poured out for you. It was symbolic. It was not his body and his blood. Are you getting what I'm saying? They were symbolic for his body and his what? And his blood. They were all types. They were all symbols. They were all shadows. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah. And so, the fishes were symbolic for what? The work of reconciliation that every born-again child of God is meant to do. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, you need to understand something, that the Bible was written in a very serious... Jesus operated in a cultural text. Are you getting what I'm saying? He was not a liberal... Judaism. It was the opposite of liberal is what? What do they call it again? He was a serious hardcore Judaist. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, he even had on his cloth, he had wings. The Bible says, if you look at the Judaist clothes, they have some, you know, knitted parts under it. That's called wings. When the Bible says the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, is that knitted part that is the wings? Praise God forevermore. Jesus wore a cloth with wings. Praise God forevermore. It was a practice in Judaism, and to make us understand that he understood the dictates of the dictates of the law. Amen. So that he can be able to do what? To fulfill it. And as a result of that, everything he did was very, 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 very symbolic. And in a cultural environment, we discovered that the Jews were shepherds by occupation. We can see that while they were in Egypt, praise God forevermore, when Pharaoh told them to go and sacrifice, and Moses said, how will we go and sacrifice? How will we sacrifice the abomination of Egypt before Egypt? Because for Egypt, sheep was an abominable animal. Just like the swine is an abominable animal for the Jews, the sheep is an abominable animal for what? For the Egyptians. And say, how will we sacrifice an abomination before the Egyptians? Do you want them to stone us to death? Do you want them to kill us? Praise God forevermore. So back then, they were they were shepherds. And that's why I say that the shepherd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, David was a shepherd. And we say a lot has to do with shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Another occupation that also thrived was what? Was fishing. Fishing. Praise God forevermore. When it has to do with guidance, care, and leadership, the occupation of shepherding is used to illustrate those. So the pastoral ministry, the guidance ministry, the shepherding ministry, the leadership ministry is done by the is depicted by the word, by the shepherd. Now, when we talk about the evangelistic and soul winning ministry, it is depicted by the fishing. So these were two major occupations in Israel, and they played pivotal role in the work of God. Because when you fish them, you have to care for them. And remember, the shepherd does not go out searching for sheep. He carries his sheep out. Are you getting me? But the fisherman goes out searching for fish every day. Every day is out hunting fish, searching for fish. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the search approach of and the catching approach of the Christian faith is the fishers, is the fisherman approach. And so that's why these two occupations, Jesus always used them to explain what the whole work of salvation and redemption and the Christian life is all about. So we go out to fish, that is evangelism and soul winning. And we what? Care for them, that is what? Shepherding. Are we together? And when there is effective fishing and effective shepherding, we have what? A strong church. But when the church has effective shepherding but does not have effective fishing, in no time it cannot be able to influence the society well. Are we together? Yes. Because they may have some few strong people in the faith, but the people, the prevalence of sin in the environment becomes too strong. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Praise God. Now, so they cannot actually be able to influence society very, very, very well. Amen to Jesus. Now, also, when you have a good fishing church, but is not a shepherding church, you bring sinners into church and they are not transformed. Are you getting what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, there's a possibility that they can go back into the water. Are we together? So the balance of a good fishing church and what? Shepherding church is what the Church of Jesus needs today. Praise God forevermore. And that's a heart cry. And that's what God desires for us. All right, so that's just part of it. It's just by the way, amen to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, so we learned in our previous study that the two fishes symbolize what? The work of man in what? In God's great salvation. Jesus brought the disciples to the fishing house to make them understand the practicality of the work of what? Reconciliation, which they have all been called into. And what? And showed it to them via ministering to the 5,000. Now, he told the disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. Remember, he told Peter, James, I'll make you fishers of men. He saw Peter and his brother. He told him, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And he went a little and he saw James and John and he called them. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, he had already made them understand that you're going to be fishers of men. Praise God forevermore. But now, they followed him for a while, and they did not even understand the context of being fisher of men. Now, it's one thing, that is why when Jesus left for a while, Peter said, I go fishing. And the other disciples followed him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they are not understood the full context of being what? Of being fishers of men. And Jesus teaches with practicals. Remember when he spoke in parables, he spoke stories compliant to the everyday operation. He spoke the story of a man that went to saw a precious pearl in a field, and he sold all he had and he brought it. He had to speak with them with things that were conversant with their daily operations. And so there were practical teachings, there were conversant teachings that were conversant with them so that they can easily understand what he's saying. Praise God forevermore. Actually, much of Jesus's teachings were stories. Story, story, story. The parables are simply stories with deep spiritual truth. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So Jesus brings them back to their hometown in case they are forgotten what he told them. Are you getting what I'm saying? when he called them, in case they have gotten carried away with all the miracles, Jesus did this miracle, hey, Jesus did that miracle, in case they have gotten carried away with the miracles, he brought them back to the hometown to make them, to bring them, make them come to come to terms again with what he told them when he called them, at least four, two of them. Are you getting what I'm saying? That what I told you when I called you, two of you, was I will make all of you fishers of men. So let's go back to the fishing zone so we don't lose touch of what we were called to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the fishing zone, you smell the fish again. You remember how you used to throw the net. And the way you used to throw your drag net into the water, that's the same way you are going to throw your drag net into the water of life, into the water of society, to pull men into Christ. And so this was not just only a step taken to rest, it was a step taken to give them an environmental lecture of who they are. I get what I'm saying? Some of the times when you talk to people over and over and they don't understand with words, you take them to environments to explain to them. A man of God said he was talking to somebody, some of his leaders, over and over, and they were not understanding, So he took them, he paid their flight ticket, and he took them for a conference. And when he took them for that conference, by the time they came back, he didn't say anything. They picked fire. They were on fire for the Lord. A man of God said his son went, just started going haywire. And he was praying and doing everything and nothing could work. And so one day he took the son for a conference that was held by his spiritual father. And he said he did not say anything, he did not do anything, just took the son, he went for the conference. And as he went for the conference, in that conference, this is a man of God, that his son was going haywire in his very presence. In that conference of his spiritual father, the son gave his life to Christ. See, and that was what changed his life forever. Because he got to a point where he knew that he had to take the guy to an environment. He said, the guy never understood what he was always trying to say. So after the boy gave his life to Christ, before you know, the guy became serious to the Lord. The guy is actually following in his footsteps today. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the benefit of taking people to environments. An environment will teach them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Environments have a way of teaching people that your words cannot teach. In school, they take children on excursion. They tell the reason for excursion is that when they go on excursion, anything they see, they cannot forget. Are we together? Environmental lectures. So Jesus took them to Bethsaida for an environmental lecture. Come back to the fishing pond. Come back to the fishing harbor. Let's become conversant with the original purpose. Before you get carried away with miracles and forget that the original intent was not just for me to be doing miracle show for you, but it's actually for you to what? To win souls. Are we together? Because it's so easy for us to believe that Jesus came to do a miracle show, and we forget that what? We are to win souls. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. And that's what is happening in the church today. In the church, we have actually believed that Jesus came to do a miracle show for us. And then we come to church for our men of God to do miracle shows for us. And we leave church after the miracle shows, and we forget that we are meant to go to the fishing harbor. We are meant to be fishers of men. So Jesus brings them back to the fishing harbor, brings them back to their village, brings them back to where he told them, this is my assignment for you. So you don't get carried away with the miracles I do and turn it into showmanship and forget that the original intent why I called you is not because I was looking for who to do a show for, but I was looking for people to carry out the great tasks. Because Jesus did not call them to do showmanship for them. Unlike what we see in the church, the church has turned into a showmanship business. We call the people for showmanship, and at the end of the showmanship, they leave the church and they cannot go out and win the souls for the Lord Jesus. Jesus did not call these 12 men to show up for them. Are you getting what I'm saying? The work of Christ is not a show-off business, and it will never be a show-off business. And so he brings them to an environment that brings them back to the reason why he calls them. Every time, God wants to bring us back to the environment that reminds us of where he called us. The Bible speaking in the book of Revelations, it says, remember thy first love. You know, many people have different definitions and explanations to first love. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people believe that you don't need to remember first love again. And there are different new creation, as it were, teachings to that. But I want to help you understand something, that the place of first love is the place of Bethsaida. That's the place of first love. First love is the place of Bethsaida. It's the place of God bringing you to the original assignment he brought you to do. Bringing you back to the place of assignment, to the environment, to remind you that, see, I did not call you so I will be a showman for you. I did not call you to be a clown for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is not part of my teaching, but I believe God is speaking to the church expressly, and he's speaking to somebody expressly. Praise God forevermore. I did not call you to be a showman for you. I did not call you to entertain you. Over the years, the church has begun to look at Jesus as the entertainer, and we are the crowd being entertained. I did not call you for an entertainment. No. I did not call. And you know, miracles have become entertainment. That's why you see, come to church today, and people, when the word is being taught, they are sleeping. And when they start, they say, when they start seeing miracles, that's when they get alive. Because for them, it is time for what? Entertainment. When you are watching an interesting film, most of the time you are tired, but you'll be fighting to watch the film. Is that not so? Because it's entertaining you. When you pay your money to go and watch a match, are you getting what I'm saying? You are tired, but you still watch the match, right? Because it is entertaining you. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not die for us to be entertained. Jesus did not call us to entertain us. Are you getting what I'm saying? He did not call the 12 to entertain them. Miracles are not entertainments. Are you getting what I'm saying? Miracles are not showmanship. Are you getting me? Jesus did not call us to entertain us. He called us to make us fishers of men. And that's the reason why when we are not in touch with our assignment, he takes us to Bethsaida. He takes us back to the place that reminds us of assignment. That's why the Bible tells us, remember now thy first love. Go back to the place that reminds you of assignment. Go back to the place that reminds you of who he called you to be. Go back to Bethsaida. In Bethsaida, you only perceive the smell of fish. In Bethsaida, you only see canoes. In Bethsaida, you only see river water. In Bethsaida, you only see nets. Why? Because it's all about fishing. When God takes you back to Bethsaida, when Jesus takes you back to Bethsaida, all you see is assignment. See, until we come to a point when all we see is assignment, we have not come to the point of being true disciples of the Lord Jesus. I am assignment driven. I am not entertainment driven. So what's what I'm doing for you? A while ago, in a particular assignment the Lord gave to us last year, towards the end of last year or thereabout, I started feeling a void in me. And I started praying and asking the Lord, what is happening? What is happening? I started feeling a void in me because I knew that that assignment was nice, but it was not giving me fulfillment. And you get what I'm saying? I was not getting fulfillment in that assignment any longer. And you see, when you begin to see some hitches, some hatches, some everything's coming up over and again, just understand that there is something God is saying about where you are. Are you get what I'm saying? And what you are doing. And I began to notice some hitches. I just began to pray. And while praying, I remember a month ago there about, at night, I woke up and I was praying. That void was just in me. That void, I was teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I was not fulfilled. Are you getting me? And then I began praying. And as I was praying, I started hearing, give me the nations. I am more than this. And I prayed that statement. I prayed that phrase for about 3 hours. After praying, Lord opened me up to a new assignment. And that new assignment has started taking another dimension. And then, not quite long again, the Lord started pressing something in my spirit. When I begin to see some things in the physical environment, I don't take it for granted. And then the Lord began to open him up to another assignment again. Why? Because we were not created for excitement. We were created for assignment. Are you understand what I'm saying? Child of God, you were not created for excitement. You were created for assignment. When your life is no longer assignment driven, sir, it's time for you to begin to pack up and go. The moment assignment is no longer propelling you, you are as good as what? Dead. It's time to leave earth. But so long as you are still assignment driven, you have no right to leave the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are assignment driven. We're created for assignment. Praise God forevermore. So Jesus brings them back to Bethsaida to bring them back in touch with assignment. Come to the house of fishes. Come to the fishing house. Are you getting what I'm saying? Come back there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, it's no coincidence that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Long time ago in Bethlehem. So the holy... No, it's not just a song. Why was he born in the house of bread? Because he is the bread of life. Bible says your father did eat manna. Your fathers did... Jesus was speaking, say, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. But I am the bread that came from heaven. In other words, is he saying that manna was not the bread from heaven? Manna was a bread from heaven, but it was angel's food. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the bread that came from heaven, that is not the food of angels, but it is the bread that is broken for us to eat. He said, this is my body broken. Eat it and live. It's for us to eat and live. That's who he is. So because he's the bread from heaven, he was born in the what? House of bread. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are no coincidences in scriptures, my brothers and my sisters. We need to understand these things. So Bethsaida move was not just a move for relaxation. It was a move to bring them back in touch. Before you lose touch of what I called you to do, you have seen the first miracle. You have seen the second miracle. You have seen the third miracle. Let me take you back. Let me take you back. Let me take you to get in touch with what I called you to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? And for many of us, we need a Bethsaida move again. We need a Bethsaida, and you get what I'm saying? A Bethsaida encounter again, Bethsaida experience. Why? Because we have lost touch of the assignment. And when you lose touch of the assignment, all you need to do is go back to Bethsaida. So some of us, God is calling us back to Bethsaida, and we are running to Capernaum. God is calling us to Bethsaida, and we are running to Cana of Galilee. The first miracle was done in Cana of Galilee. The second miracle was done in Cana of Galilee. But when it was time for this fourth miracle, he took them to Bethsaida. Some of us are still comfortable with the honor that is coming to the Lord in Cana in Galilee. And oh, the Lord is Jesus is being honored in our life. We are excited with the Canaan in Galilee experience because the Lord is being honored in our ministries and in our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? And sometimes it can sweep you off your feet. And so when God sees that this thing is about sweeping you off your feet, what does he do? He takes you to Bethsaida. Sir, it's good to get honor. But my son, let me tell you something. Go back to assignment. You are called to fish. Go and perceive the smell of fish again. Go and see, go and have the sight of the rivers again. Go and have the sight of the canoes. Have the sight of the nets. See the fishermen throw the net in again. And let it spark up something on the inside of you. You have enjoyed some things, some entertainment. You have enjoyed some miracle, but this is more than just miracles. It is about assignment. Now let me let you something. If assignment is not miracle driven. If miracle is not assignment driven, then it is not tantamount to productivity. If a miracle is not assignment driven, it's not tantamount to productivity. We have been looking at the miracles of Jesus, and we've been seeing how all of the miracles pointed to salvation. And why did Jesus come? He came to save us. Is that not so? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Eternal, everlasting life. He came for salvation. He came to save us. So every of these miracles, at one point in time, we see salvation inside these miracles. Why? Because every miracle Jesus did was assignment driven. It was assignment that made him do it. But that's what the Bible says. He said, I do nothing except my father tells me to do it. In other words, if this one is not in line with my assignment, I won't do it. Do you think that it is In the whole of where the locations where he went to, is everybody there that got healed? Just like some of us want us to go and heal everybody in the hospital and heal everybody in their homes. Now, when a miracle is not assignment oriented, it will not be done. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when it's assignment oriented, it will be done. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. So Jesus brought the disciples to the house of fish to make them what? Understand the practicality of the work of what? Reconciliation, which they have been called into, and show it to them via what? Ministering to the 5,000. So now, Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were fishermen. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the other guys were not fishermen. Peter, you understand these things, but these other guys don't understand it. But Peter, in case you have been carried away by miracle, Peter, James, John, Andrew, in case you have been carried away by miracle and you have forgotten, you have lost some little touch with fishing, let me take you back to do a refresher course. But for you that have not seen it at all. Come and see. This is what you came to do. For following me, this is who you are. You are fishers of men. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right. So the work of reconciliation is the work of fishers of men, which Jesus told Peter and Andrew he will make them. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. It says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That is the job of reconciliation. It's the fishers of men job. Praise God forevermore. Although some of the disciples, that's Peter, James, John, and Andrew, were conversant with fishing in the past, not all of them were. And the fishing environment was a strategic location to perform what? This miracle, which was more than provision, but was more about what? Redemption and reconciliation to God. So this fishing environment was a very strategic location to perform this miracle. I get what I'm saying? Why? Because it was a miracle that was more than just provision. You see, I thank God for something that the Lord has done for me. The Lord gives me revelation into his word that I will say, fathers are already catching. I remember some years ago, date back 2009, the Lord was giving me a teaching. And I was just brooding over that revelation in my spirit. And I went to barb my hair in a barbing saloon. And I saw on television, Pastor Benny Hinn teaching the same thing the Lord was brooding over my spirit. I was like, wow, Lord. Lord, you are really connecting me to higher graces. You know, last two or three years, I began to teach on faith is the culture of the believer. Bible says the just shall live by faith. Remember, I began to teach that faith is the way of life. What is culture? It's the way of life of a people. And when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it means the just shall live by the culture called faith, which is the way of life of the believer. So faith is not about what is not about receiving from God. Faith is actually the life we live. And I listened to a man of God yesterday, and I saw the same thing. He was saying the same thing. He said, faith is just our everyday life. It's our everyday life as born-again Christian. It's our everyday life. It's the life we live. See, faith is not about what you used to receive from God, because over the years, it made us believe that it is what you used to receive from God. It's not what you used to receive. Faith is the life. And if you say it's your life you used to receive from God, all fine. But it's not a tool. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not a device. It is the life. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. And so, in addition, we need to understand that this miracle was... The location was very important because this miracle was not just a miracle of provision. Because over the years, when we look at the miracle of the 5,000, all we think of is provision. But this miracle was bigger than provision. This miracle was more about what? Redemption and reconciliation than provision. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so if we understand this, it makes us see the miracles of Jesus in the light that they are meant to be seen. Are we together? In the light that they are meant to be seen. And if we see it in this light, we can be able to get the real understanding that we need to get. We understood that when Jesus saw, and this miracle is a very strategic miracle. Wow. Look at something here. Get this. I began teaching and made us understand that there are the two occupations, predominant occupation in Israel there, were shepherding and fishing, and they are symbolic for the two main operations of the church. The shepherding is for what? Leadership and guidance, which is the pastoral work, the bishopric work. That is what happens to those you have brought in. And the fishing is for what? Evangelism. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Fishing is for what? Evangelism, to bring them in. When we bring them in by fishing, we establish them by what? Shepherding. Are we together? In the previous study before this, we understood that Jesus, his perspective of the people was very important. How did he see them? As sheep without one shepherd. Now we can see the shepherding work there coming up. And now we are seeing what? The fishing work here. This miracle was a complete miracle. It was just a complete miracle for the church.
It was just showing. It was just showing the disciples the fullness of how the church is to operate. First, you have to see them with the shepherd's point of view. A sheep lacking no shepherd. And then what do? You jump in as a fisherman and bring them in so you can do what? Shepherd them well. Very complete miracle. And so we began to look at the sheep and the reason why a sheep needed a shepherd in the last studies. Are we together? Please go over that. It's going to help you. Praise God forevermore. This study, we're going to be looking at the fisherman. We've looked at the shepherd. So we're going to be looking at the fisherman. Amen to Jesus. Now, who are fishermen? And what does their life and occupation entail? You know, I began to, you see, some of the times people don't know the benefits of studying the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, it also teaches you some small, small things. Are you getting what I'm saying? You learn some other small, small things. Some other small, small things. You learn small. Are you getting me? And you can get some little experience. You know, when I began to see this light, I began to look, study a little on fishermen. And I learned some small things of fishermen and how it relates to what? To this work of what? Redemption. And I believe we all learned today. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So, who are fishermen? And what does their life and occupation entail? Fishermen are people who catch fishes. That simple, is that not so? That's who they are. They catch fishes. They usually live away from the hustle and bustle of the city because they spend their whole life on the water, whether fishing or walking. So you discover that their life is not they are not conversant with the daily life operation. Why? Because they live more on the water. You know, some of the times they fish through the night. They even sleep on the water. They sleep on the water. Sometimes I wonder how they take that risk. They sleep on the water. So their life is more on the water. They live more on the water than on land. Praise God forevermore. As fishers of men, the disciples will do what? We spend their whole life catching men for Jesus. So the question is, are you ready to be a fisher of men? Because fishermen spend their whole life what? Working. They live away from the hustle and bustle of the city. That's why the Bible says we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation. We are a called out set. Are you getting what I'm saying? So though we are in the world, we are not what? Of the world. That means to say we are to live separate from the hustle of the world. Though we are in the hustle of the world. That's the fisherman mentality. They are in the society, but they live away from the hustle and bustle of society because of the nature of their work. You cannot claim to be a fisherman and want to hustle with the market people. I want to hustle with the people that are selling spare parts, with the people that are selling food, with the people that are in the bank. You want to hustle with them? No, you can't hustle with them, sir. Your life is not their life. Your terrain is not their terrain. Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? Where they have to sit inside an office with a desk as a banker, sir, as a white collar people. But you, sir, you have to be exposed to the weather on top of the ocean, in your boat, in your canoe. Are we together? So your hustle is different from their hustle. That's why the Bible says we are not of this world. Our hustle is different from their hustle. Though, you see, the fisherman is still in the world, but he's distinct and separate from them. His hustle is not their hustle. You get what I'm saying? That's why we are in this world, but we are not of the world. So, child of God, if you want to be a fisherman, you must be ready to be in this world, but not of the world. You must be ready to be here, but your hustle will not be their hustle. Oh. You must be ready to be here, but your bustle will not be their bustle. Are we together? I must be ready to be here and live your whole life catching fishes. Apostle Paul says, whether we live or we die, we do it for the Lord. We are for the Lord. Whether we live or we die, we are for the Lord. So this life of the fisherman as a born again child of God is whether I live or I die, I am fishing. And Apostle Paul once again understand, he said it this way. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Anyhow you turn the coin, sir, I am fishing for Christ. My waking up and my going to bed is fishing for Christ. Apostle Paul speaking about one of the churches he wrote to, he said, you are our epistle, you are my epistles, you are my epistles. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we are the epistles of Christ, fishing men to Christ. And that's why it's a number one, it's a full-time work and it's a whole life work. One day a man of God said something once. He said he was so serious and zealous for the Lord while on campus, evangelism, doing sowing everything. And one of the days, one of his lecturers asked him, he said, are you a student or are you a Christian? And he told his lecturer boldly and bluntly, I am a full-time Christian and a part-time student. The effect of that statement is still glaring today. We are not saying you should not read your book in school. Read your books in school. Do the best in your academics. But remember that you are not living for your profession. You are living for the profession of your faith. Yes. And that's the life of what? A fisherman. Hey! So, we are to live our lives as born-again Christians. Are we together? Are to spend our lives catching men for Jesus. And all the disciples did this, even those of them that were not fishermen by profession. You get what I'm saying? They caught men for Christ. Are you getting me? That's why Jesus took them there. Say, four of you are conversant with this trade. But this one's not conversant. So let me come and indoctrinate you again. Let me baptize you into the job. So winning is not for a particular few. As some people say, I don't know how to preach. You don't know how to preach. If you cannot preach, you can sing. If you cannot sing, you can talk. But by all means, you can preach. You can preach. You can do something for the Lord Jesus to catch fishes. Are we together? If you cannot preach, you can share welfare materials and invite them to church where they can be preached to. If you cannot preach, you can pay their transportation fare and get them to church so they can be preached to. But by all means, we must fish as full time. We must fish as a whole life work. Praise God forevermore. The ministry of reconciliation is not a part-time job or one we are to retire from. Are you getting what I'm saying? This ministry, you don't retire from it. It's not part-time either. Are we together? It is a full-time work and you are to do it for the rest of your life. Jesus brought them here to make them understand that this is a full-time work. It's a full-time work and they are to what? Never to retire from it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And look at every of the disciples. They never retired. John the Beloved, the one who lived to old age, you died of a natural cause. By old age. Even in the island of Patmos, he didn't retire. Old age could not retire them. The thing that actually retired them was the job. So they did the job. Apostle Paul came and he said, I'm ready to be poured out. I'm ready to be poured out. This job, I have done it. I'm ready to be poured out. It's a full-time job. No retirement. Are we together? No retirement. The only job we don't retire from is the job of what? Winning souls for Christ. Fisherman job. So Jesus brought those that were fishermen by profession, four of them, and those that were not fishermen by profession. Are you getting me? He brought the fishermen by profession and those that were not fishermen by profession to this location to make them understand that this job is for all of you, irrespective of your what? Of your profession. Look, the physician. This job is for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Which one was the tax collector? Matthew. Matthew, the tax collector. This one is for you too. This job is still for you. Judas, the accountant. This one is still for everybody. This job is for you. And there's no retirement in this job. So since the fishermen spend their whole life on water, which is their place of work, every disciple of Jesus is to spend their whole lives in the work location of reconciliation. This means that wherever you spend more of your life is your fishing water for men. Any place where you spend more of your life and more of your time, that is your what? Your fishing water for what? For men. Are you working in the bank? My brother, that is your fishing water. Are you working in in the oil field, that is your world, fishing, water. Are you working in the market? That is your, anywhere you spend more of your life is your fishing water. And that makes us understand also that where you spend more of your life is your fishing water. By the time you come back home, your family is still there. What? Your fishing water. There should be no member of your family that is not yet brought into salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is a full-time job, sir. This is a full-time job. It's a full-time job. It's not part-time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul was speaking to Timothy and he told him, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Be instant in what? Season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. So continue it. Continue it. Continue it. There is said, be instant in season and what? And out of season. That means there is no break time. There is no free time. There is no leave. It is a continuous work. Be instant in season and out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. In season and what? Out of what? Season. Be instant. Be instant. There's no break on this job. There's no break. You have to spend your whole life doing this. You have to live your whole life doing it. You have to be fully committed to it, no matter what profession you have chosen. Amen to Jesus. The fishing profession has been known for centuries, and their methods have evolved over time. Jesus used a profession that has been in existence for long to buttress God's great salvation, which was done by the Father God from the foundation of the earth. Revelation 13 verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the fishing profession has been on for long. So Jesus chose a particular profession that had been in existence for long to buttress how long the salvation plan of God has been. I get what I'm saying? And number two, the fishing profession has been on for long and their methods have evolved. Are we getting it? That makes us understand that this work of soul winning has been on, but our methods will keep evolving. Are we together? Our methods to win souls will keep evolving. In the time of Jesus, they didn't have public address systems. So they had to depend on the acoustics of the environment to project their voice. Are we together? And so that's why Jesus will go to mountainous locations to preach. Why? Because in the mountainous locations, they had good acoustics and good ecosystem. Are we together? So the echo will be very good. So he uses such locations to preach to a large crowd. Amen to Jesus. In fact, when you go to some of the locations that were used, you discover that when you talk, it talks back to you. Are we together? They had to utilize, Jesus had to utilize such environment to preach, because what? He had to depend on natural voice so that what? He would amplify his voice. But today we have sound systems. Is that not so? You can stand in one location and your sound system can travel distance. And we now have more than sound system. We now have what? The airwaves, which is what? The internet. Are you getting what I'm saying? We have the internet. I'm preaching in my studio today, and people in America, people in Nigeria, people in Canada, all over the nations of the people are listening to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? The methods have evolved over the years. Praise God forevermore. Why? Because the tax must keep what? Going on. The tax of what? Fishing, of winning souls must keep going on. And that's the reason why Jesus expects us to also evolve in our methods. We must utilize methods. We must utilize strategies to evolve. Are we together? I was talking to a son of mine some days ago, and I told him, the Lord told me to stop running a denomination and to focus on the media. And he told me, sir, I think what you are doing is just the right thing to do. He said, because all over the world, they have to hear your voice. Believe you me, if I didn't focus on media, the people that God is using me to bless today, the one denomination thing I was with, I would have not been able to get to them by today. And he was talking with me, and you know, he could see that he's listening to the teachings. I hear people. I remember somebody was telling me that media ministry is not ministry, and it's just a what they call it, a auxiliary or a backup to the main ministry. And I was like, oh, so you mean that this person, they are not doing ministry? And I kept him quiet. I've not heard from him. I've not heard how he has still been struggling where he is. Are you getting what I'm saying? But today, by the grace of God, the people that are listening to me, the people that I get that God is speaking to through me, they are cutting across nations. Are we together? And if I were to sit down on the approach that has been, because one of the problems we have, especially the church, is that we always good at fighting progress. There was a time some denominations said that television was not godly. Are we together? They said television was not godly. Are we together? And the same denomination, they're on television now. Amen. They're on television now. Praise God forevermore. And the list goes on. A lot of the times we have fought the evolving technology that God has given to the church to be able to what? Spread the gospel faster. I remember the 5G wahala. When it was raging, that was in COVID period. They used 5G and COVID to want to destroy the whole world. And a particular man of God came up and said, if 5G comes, we use it to preach the gospel. He said, if it comes, we use it to preach the gospel. Everything, they say it will be faster, hyper faster than 4G. Better for us. We'll hyperly, fasterly reach people for Jesus. I get what I'm saying? Our methods of fishing have to evolve. Back then, even before the nets, some people used to use spear to fish. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then they began to use drag nets. But the methods have evolved. And so as fishermen for Christ, our methods also have to what? Evolve. We can't stick to the archaic, prehistoric method. You know, my wife has been trying to introduce, you know, the podcast. And the podcast to somebody, telling the person you can put your messages on podcast, and the person has not budged concerning it, and she'll be trying to introduce and the person has not budged concerning it, but we have just kept calm. And I was like, okay, some people are only used to, I want to see the congregation. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want to see the congregation. Let me see the 5, the 10, and that's what makes me fulfilled. And some of them began to ask me, how have you been preaching for 4 years without seeing the people you are preaching to? Somebody was talking to me and said, do you get feedback? I said, I don't know. They said they send feedback, but the Spotify platform is not allowing me to see. But, you know, it was recently somebody was telling me he sent a message and we're trying to open the message. And I said, okay, this is the way. Please use the email to send message. Say, do you get feedback? And they asked me different, people asked me different kinds of questions. Do you get money? Do you get money? Are you getting money? Are you getting money? And I was like, I'm not getting money from the podcasting I'm doing, no. Recently, somebody was telling me that he was looking for the giving platform. I said, you should have told me you're looking for the giving platform. You know, I'm not getting money. And we are trusting God that God will bless the work. But we have stayed on. And people ask all these questions because once it's not conventional, they cannot venture. I get what I'm saying? And somebody said something once. He said, you criticize what you don't understand. So people have told me jargons because I'm doing podcasts. Say I'm not doing ministry. In fact, some people, when the Lord began to tell me to go into a particular operations of ministry, the person told my wife, he wants to start doing ministry now. She didn't know when she said it. So in her mind, I'm not doing ministry. I get what I'm saying? In her mind, I'm not doing ministry. I'm like, wow, wonderful. You know, sometimes God allows some things to happen so that what is really in the heart of people will come out. So in her mind, I'm not doing ministry. So it's until I start gathering two or three that I'm doing ministry. Deceive yourself. Are you what I'm saying? And today, by the grace of God, people, a pastor friend of mine come and say, I listen to your teachings and I go to teach them. People have been blessed. And one of them said to me, say, you are an inspiration to me. You are inspiring me. You are inspiring me. It was an unconventional way. But it was an evolving way. We have to evolve. I was talking to somebody and I was like, he said he started a denomination and he's closed down, so he's trying to start again. I said, I would like to talk with you. Because I told him, I would like to talk with you because I want you to really pray and ask God, what are you meant to be doing? Because I don't believe that God wants us to struggle the larger phase of period of our life. How would God call me to come and struggle for 30 years? How many years do I have to live? And I have 30 million people to impact and I struggle for 30 years. How many years do I have to live to impact the 30 million people? Are you getting what I'm saying? I told him, you have to know precisely what God is in, so that you don't waste much of your time struggling doing the wrong thing. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because you believe that it must be like this. It must be this conventional practice. And so even when God is moving, you are holding back. Like somebody said, God does not expect you to cry over a dead horse. You are trying to resurrect a dead horse that God has said, leave it and let's move forward. The work of reconciliation is taking new evolving measures. And we have to go with these measures. We have to go with these. If not, we'll be lost in time. And the devil will use all these strategies to win, to destroy people. Today, the devil is using cartoon. It's not today, it's been long. You know, the church did not utilize the cartoon system for long, do you know? Thank God for Bismo. What's the name again? Gizmo. CBN. Superbook. Thank God for Superbook. I never knew that Superbook started 1983. I never knew. It is the recent when I started watching that. I thought that it was Superbook. I didn't know it started 1983. So they have been in that business since getting children for Christ. Whereas, instead of Christians, I listened to a man of God and he said, if he's to go into any media-oriented business at all, if he's to go into any business, he will go into cartoonists. He said he'll go into cartoonists. He said, because that is the area that the devil used to destroy children. When I began to watch on the internet once, I was watching how the devil has perverted, perverts cartoons to pervert the hearts of children. My God, I was shocked. I was shocked. Hollywood, they are doing big work. I was shocked. There was a particular cartoon I had watched over and over as a child that I could recite the cartoon. When they played a particular line in that cartoon, the person said, listen to what they said. They were using, hidden words. So until you listen slowly, you will not hear it. When the person who was showing different cartoons and how they were perverting the hearts of children, when he played that line, that was a place I've watched in that cartoon as a child over and over. When he played it, are you getting me? There was a serious perverted speech there. Serious perverted speech. Are we together? In that line. And I was like, what? Is it? Was this thing there? Serious perverted speech. In that line. Are we together? And imagine what they were putting into the minds of children. So children will watch a seemingly harmless cartoon. You say it's harmless. A seemingly harmless cartoon. But they have implanted demonic thoughts in the hearts of children. And you just wake up and ask and start seeing that the children are behaving in a particular way. And you don't know why they are behaving in a particular way. Unknown to you that it was a cartoon that you bought for them. Because it looked harmless. That they were hidden words that had been implanted in their minds. The devil is using such tools, such evolving tools, to do what? To destroy people. Fishers of men, we have to use such evolving measures and methods to also fish men. We have to go into cartoons. Cartoons, we have to do Christian cartoons. The children will not be patient enough to watch the movies. Are you getting what I'm saying? But put them on the cartoons, they will watch it. We have to watch it. We have to put the Christian cartoons. We have to make sure that our methods of fishing are evolving as times are evolving. We must not be prehistoric. We must not be backdated when times are moving forward. If we get this in place, I tell you, we can effectively what? Be fishers of men. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Wherever you are talking to the Lord. Lord, as if you are not yet born again, please, the sinner's prayer is going to be made for you. Do well to pray the prayer. But you are born again, you want to pray with me, and you want to ask the Lord, Lord, I have been brought to the place of Bethsaida today. The place of my assignment, which is the fisherman for you. I am to live my life wholly as a fisherman for you. Lord, I receive grace. Every measure I have to put in place to fish men for you, I put them in place. And I live my life holy to fishmen for you. Open your mouth and pray.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.